If you're ready to confront your destiny, if this is the moment that you've been praying for, tune in and listen to your cosmic cheerleader, Commander Lady Athena, for cosmic pep talks, for closet Christ. The show is the voice of the Ashtar Command. The call is for you to step forward into your greatness. E-listening on Wednesday, we have an appointment with destiny.
Greetings in the supreme love that alone is all that is. I'm known as Commander Lady Athena, and you're listening to the voice of the Ashtar Command, Cosmic Pep Talks for Closet Christs. This evening, our seminar topic is Directions, Departures, Different Destinations of Soul. So if you're ready, let's take a deep breath together and call ourselves forward into that divine force and life stream that descends from the very heart of the great, great, great central sun systems, from the monadic essence, the divine spark of God, that is who you are and what you are forever throughout eternity. And imagine that that pure ascension of divine solar electric fire, that divine solific essence, comes in a stream of divine glory and light right down to the top of your crown chakra, right down to the human brain, the human intellect and mind, your human understanding, and courses throughout your nervous system and your physical body, flooding it with sentient awareness and the awareness that you are forever connected and divine. Let's chant Hue three times to clear our consciousness and bring in a greater attunement to the sound current. Deep breath. Hue. Just notice where that energy is flowing in your body. For me, it came in as a tingle down the back of my head. And it's flowing throughout my body and as warmth. It's different in each instrument, depending on what the alignment and what we need at any given time. So just notice the sensations as spirit aligns with you and it flows in on your intention. It's not the words we say. It's not the things we read. It's the intention of the heart. I'm going to begin with a sharing from Sai Baba's book, Satya Sai Vahini. Vahini means stream. When the thirst for liberation and the revelation of one's reality is acute, a strange and mysterious force in nature will begin operating. When the soil is ready, the seed appears from somewhere. The spiritual guru will be alerted, and the thirst, will get quenched. The receiving individual has developed the power to attract the giver of illumination. That power is strong and full. Therefore, naturally, the splendor that can confer the illumination will get ready to bless. So we're going to look at that force tonight. That divine force. So just close your eyes, if you will. And take a deep breath. And center yourself very quietly. Let the thoughts of the day be laid aside. Let's just focus here and now. And let's consider the driving force of your life. I'm not talking about your personality and its preferences and likes and dislikes and your occupation and your customary habits. I'm not talking about your profession. I'm not talking about your day-to-day activities. I'm talking about that central soul urge that impels your life. That regardless of what you say or you think or you do, underneath all of that is an impetus, a divine intention of your innermost being. When you're living true to that, you know that you know that you know that you're in the right place at the right time, doing the right thing, because there's a centered sense of being settled that manifests then as a sense of confidence. Very powerful. Another way of phrasing it is realizing that you're living on purpose or true to the purpose of your innermost being. So if you're an old soul, been around quite a bit, as I have, you may have long ago come in contact with that force. And some of you that are not quite as experienced may not have too much of an idea what we're talking about here. But try to make an attempt here to sense that core impetus, that soul urge that is the substratum of your life. It underlies everything you do. Some of you may need to do a little contemplation, a little meditation on this. And a question you can ask yourself is, why am I doing whatever it is you're doing? Periodically, it's a good idea to ask yourself, why am I doing this? What's the purpose of this? We have to live for a purpose greater than our next paycheck. We have to live for a greater purpose than to fulfill the human needs of the few people that our destiny and karma has aligned us with in this lifetime. Kids grow up, they leave home, they start their own families. Maybe you see them a few times a year if you're lucky. They're gone. By the time they reach 16, 17, 18, they're off, usually, at least here in America. So then what? If you've found your soul purpose, it does not matter who goes and comes or what happens, because the soul purpose is fulfilled in whatever stage or situation in life. It's the undergirding of your existence. And the furniture that moves, and the people that move with that furniture, does not affect that underlying soul urge. So try to find it. When you do, you'll find that to which you need to be true. Because if you're true to that, then everything else in your life will fall into place. So we're in a time of great, great change. The divine spirit is being poured forth on all flesh. It comes in as a holy fire, a transfiguring fire. It is the holy fire of truth, of goodness, of beauty. Satyam, Shivam, Sundaram. It is a divine fire that will actually enable us to walk in a new dimension of being. And every single loving, positive, happy thought, word, action creates in harmony with this divine fire that forms as a crystalline substance along our nerve channels, our nadis, and brings us from that which is mortal into the state of immortality. We are consciously being reworked from mortal flesh to immortal being. So every expression of appreciation, of joy, of beneficence, of gratitude, of selfless service produces this divine sediment within ourselves. Our nervous system changes our brain and alters and expands our DNA. Every exaltation of spirit, every uplifting of one's consciousness in divine rapport, in worship, in prayer, in adoration, in self-giving, in bliss, births immortal cells in our physical and subtle bodies. We're talking about the physical transfiguration from carbon-based mortality to crystalline-based immortality. We are literally being Christed, transfigured from inside out by the working of the Divine Spirit. The Christed consciousness within is making all things new. And this is all part of humanity's cosmic progression, the ascending arc, the transfiguration, ascension, rapture, wherein we are caught up to be with the Lord, which means into higher awareness. And what is left behind is not a pile of our clothing, but our false sense of bodily identity. We do not desert and leave our loved ones behind. We release our personal attachment to the things of this material world. And we're born again of spirit. New creation. creations in Christ. So today we have change, change, change everywhere we look. People's lives are being changed, uprooted, moved about. New locations, new friends, new faces. Yet in truth, we have only now, this moment, and how we respond to it. And that's our choice. And yet, consider this moment, everything that ever was or ever will be is present. In every moment, we are surrounded with unmanifested potentials. Every thought, every feeling, every decision we make opens up a realm of new possibilities. So change opens the door for new opportunity to enter. We are right now at a place, individually and collectively, that is unique in all of history. We are becoming a new race of beings, crystalline rather than carbon-based, universal rather than earthbound. And within each one of us, there are miracles and wonders taking place as our entire human mechanism is undergoing transformation. We're becoming the superhuman. And yet, most are entirely unaware of this interchange. They're totally unaware that these things are taking place in their brain, in their DNA, in their cellular structure, in their nervous system. So this is the mighty force that Sai Baba was referring to that awakens when it's our time to move with the ascending life wave into the next state of consciousness. And it's a fiery energy that's building and increasing within us that is gradually morphing us into Homo Universalis, universal man, the human. So we know at a conscious level only a small fraction of what is available to be cognized. We simply cannot know what we don't know. And what we do know is entirely based from previous experiences and the things that we are but recognizing again. Consider that. We like a book. We relate to a teaching. Not because we're learning anything. There's nothing new to be learned here in terms of what's been written and what's been said. We're just rehashing what has always been. But what we're doing is recognizing what we've already known. I think most of you have caught on to that already. Because if you pick up a book or something that you can't relate to at all, from your previous understanding or experience, you don't like it. You don't resonate with it at all, right? So what's happening is that we're entering into something so new, we don't have any reference points. We can't find any comfort in it because there's nothing familiar. It's totally beyond anything that we could imagine or have imagined. You might say it's the universe's surprise party for us all. And we're assured it's wonderful. But you know, the odd thing about it is that what most of us are feeling is uncertain. Maybe even empty. Maybe without any sense of purpose or having a clue where we're going to go from here. I think an awful lot of people can relate to that. So let's look at it this way. Take, for example, and I think this is the most perfect example ever. Let's say you've taken a flight, and when you're in flight, going to wherever it is that your plane is headed, you entertain yourself and you get engaged or not with your companions, and you make the most of that experience that is offered on the plane. You watch the movie, you listen to the music, you read, you meditate, whatever it is you do. And you're caught up in that experience. But when the announcement comes that you're getting ready to descend into the city and the airport of your destination, what do? You forget everything that was entertaining you. You put off your headsets. You close your computer. You quit watching the movie. You gather your things. And your whole consciousness has shifted because you're anticipating the movement to a different state of being. Just get a feel for that for a moment. In exactly the same way, just before the soul gets ready to make a leap, or a movement into a different state of being, whether it's leaving the body behind in what's called death, which is an illusion, but let's just use that term because we understand that to some degree. But the same thing applies when you're going to make a big shift in consciousness. You have a slight feeling of emptiness, like the place where you are suddenly is no longer your focus point, and there's like an empty vortex or an empty vacuum just prior to deplaning. And your whole attention has gathered to be launched into your new destination. Now, just prior to leaving the body, for example, if you're in the transitioning from one incarnation into another state of life in another dimension, you will find that same feeling comes. It's like you lose that sense of involvement in the world around you, and there's kind of an empty feeling because you're not building within that dimension anymore. You're not creating in that dimension anymore. You're gathering your forces within and getting ready to enter a new state of being. Now, ideally, what happens when the soul is getting ready to leave the body in what we call the transition or death, all of the forces, all of the spiritual forces are ingathered, and focalized very strongly in that core that we call that force, that divine force. Because at the moment of transition, that full force needs to be exercised to catapult you as high as you can possibly go in vibration into the inner realm. That's why it's so important not to distract people when they're in that process and making their transition. Hold the light, support them, hold their hand, but don't weep and carry on and distract them. Maybe you could chant the hue or the om or something, or silently pray. But allow that force to gather to enable them to go as high as they can with a full thrust of the content of their chalice. Now, that force builds and is cumulative in life after life after life. and it is stored in the chalice, which is located in your chest area, in your torso, which is like a huge chalice that contains the quintessential essence of all your thoughts, words, and deeds, particularly the noble ones. Those selfless ones, those things that were birthed of your core essence, your soul. And so it builds in life after life. And a person that has a very full chalice is very seldom a specialist in any particular line. Why? They're just too vast to get hunkered down into any one place for very long. So they'll be in and out, in and out, in and out of different experiences, different careers perhaps, perhaps even different relationships. Certainly they will travel, certainly they will have, at least inwardly, if not outwardly, but they'll constantly be moving their inner awareness to different states of consciousness. So they might look like they have multiple personality disorders, if you're into judging those sort of things, because they seem to exhibit a prismatic type of personality that can change and show forth various colorations and various personas because they're full. They're multidimensional is another way of looking at it. But they're too big to hunker down in any one place for very long. And that's how you can often recognize a soul that has a very full chalice. Not to mention that they are constantly engaged in service of an impersonal nature. They serve because it's their very life breath, their very nature. It is the force that is the substratum of their entire being is self-bestowal. So part of what we're doing in presenting these weekly seminars is gradually broadening our conscious awareness. It's said that it takes eons to broaden the consciousness. But I believe we can always expand our conscious awareness by being made aware of things that are out of the ordinary, things that you don't normally hear in a radio show, things that you're not presented with in seminars. Most of those things have to do with your human personality, how to get your soulmate, how to make more money, how to find your career, you know, all of that stuff, which begins and ends with the body. What we want to look at are the accumulations that we have acquired in all of our lifetimes, which is birthing us beyond the human body and the concepts that we have taken to be who we are and why we're here and what we're here to do. So we're looking within our inner universes, within our mind, and our motivations to become more self-aware. Everything, everything, everything begins and ends with you. All of the vastness of the cosmos, with all of its mysteries and secrets, exists as unexplored territory within you. Every one of us is a microcosm of the macrocosm. If it isn't within you, it doesn't exist. Everything is within you. Everything. The seven seas, the seven continents, all states of consciousness, the highest God realization and awareness. Everything is within you now. It's a matter of moving your awareness to that place, knowing how to move your awareness to that place, and knowing how to look. So you don't know what you've never been made aware of. So we like to keep directing your awareness into new areas. And that is the task of seers and visionaries and mystics and those who explore higher states of consciousness to expand your personal horizon And you know what? The more you do that, the more you enjoy life. Some of you starseed, particularly young ones, are really, really not happy with where the world is right now and don't know how to be yourself within what's going on right now. You keep trying to fit some pattern or educate yourself into some career that you can stomach, let's say. But there's nothing out there that thrills you and makes you come alive. Very, very little. Do you relate to? And what I would say to you is that in many cases, you're simply going to have to use your cleverness and your resourcefulness to create a niche for yourself in this world. That's what I had to do. There was nothing in the world even closely resembling what I knew I was here to do. Well, the closest thing was maybe being a foreign missionary, which I actually sort of am, because I traveled and I told people about Christ and God and how to get connected. But to do what I'm doing right now, today, this moment, there was no opportunity or availability for that platform at all. And so I had to be very clever in finding some way to make a living by being true to myself. And you're going to have to do that too. You're going to have to find some way to support yourself, to make your living, to take care of your needs, your responsibilities, while being true to yourself. And that's why many of you come in and you invent new systems. But then, of course, you've got to find a way to market the new systems. You've got to somehow create an arena where people will participate in what it is that you're creating. So tuck in as best you can without compromising yourself. Tuck in as best you can, because your world is dawning and you're not going to have too long to wait. In fact, I don't think you need to wait at all. Get busy inventing, creating, imagining, joining with others who are on a similar vein, and begin to see what you can co-create that would be useful right now, and assistance to humanity, because bottom line, that's why we're here. We're here to be of service. It's all about being of service to the greater good. And you know, that's the only thing that's going to make you happy and fulfill you. Living for yourself and pleasuring yourself will never do it, ever. It's only when we live to make others happy that we find happiness. So, everything is within you. And right now, as you begin to sense that life force within you, Star Wars called it the Force, and I think that's a good term, so that'll do. Feel that force. Feel, sense the inner motivating intention that is your major driving impetus. You know, regardless of what you actually act upon, this driving intent actually literally colors every thought, word, and deed in your life. And it's vitally important that you realize the driving impetus of your innermost being. Call it soul or hurt or whatever, because it's who and what you really are and what your life is all about. At least what this life is all about. And you see, this motivating soul urge, your inner intention is a magnet. It attracts. Your aura becomes magnetic and attracts and draws into your life whatever supports that overall intention. That's why it's so important that you get a sense of that. Because that's what's going to be happening and what you're going to be magnetizing into your life. So your aura radiates this motivating intention, your soul urge, its coloration, its vibration, its chorusing sound. So your whole being is a combination of divine geometrics, which correspond to your predominant states of consciousness. They all form into sacred geometric patterns, which have a specific sound or chorusing, specific colorations, and specific vibrations. And is unique to you alone, as it forms a vast ocean of ever-moving consciousness. It's a sea of consciousness that's ever-changing. And it's that in which you live. And that which gives you your sense of reality and your lens of perception. So it's truly everything. And that is the part that we are to be true to. Not our thoughts, not our emotions, not our conditioning, not the expectations of the world or people, not the things we've been programmed to believe and think and do. No. It's the soul urge within you that we are to be true to. So your personal force, that which drives and vibrates through everything you say, think, and do, comes from your soul urge and the accumulations over many lifetimes that are stored in your chalice. You could call the chalice your heart center, your Atma, your spirit, your true self. But it fills you and it spills over into everything in your life. So your primary purpose of existence, your true being, is what we're talking about here. And I think it's especially strong when your cultivation and expression over many lifetimes has filled your chalice. And then it's rather easily recognized. And it's nice to know that it builds in life after life. And this is what accounts for people who suddenly become enlightened. Just, they might see Sai Baba the first time and bam, that's it. They're enlightened. Or they might just have this tremendously, obviously divine life. Like Sri Ananda Morima. Like Sri Ramana Maharshi. Like Yogananda Paramahansa, who had so transfigured his body with the divine fire of immortality that after a month of observation in the mortuary, it didn't show the slightest decay. And of course, we know of many Christian saints in that same situation, like Saint Clare and others. So it is possible to, as it says in the Bible, be changed from mortal flesh to immortal being. And I have to say that it's not a matter of doing. You might say, well, what can I do now, today? Nothing. Your life today is a product of everything you've done in the past. You're living in the state that your accumulations and your chalice have brought you to today. Now, what happens if you are in a situation in which you've allowed your life to be circumscribed and contained in a way where you haven't had full expression of your chalice? That's a very sad state. What happens is that very often it produces severe, well, it can result in tuberculosis for one thing. Many of the nuns and saints of the Middle Ages passed over due to suppression of the fire of their chalice. They were put in prison or they were incarcerated in some way where they had no means physically of expressing the fire of their being. So some of you who have severe congestion in your lungs, you have to ask yourself, are you giving expression to the fire of your heart, your spirit? We are meant, and I have to quote the Bible here, I have to quote Jesus. We are meant to love God with all our heart, all our mind, all our strength, all our soul. And our fellow creatures, our fellow man, as ourself. Big S. Not personal love, selfless love of the soul. When you're not living that, you're not alive. You simply have to know the divine. It said in the Bible that if there was no one to tell us of God, the very stones themselves would proclaim the glory of God. Sai Baba has said that nature is the best preacher and life the best teacher. Because if you spend time quietly in nature, everything that lives will awaken you to the divine. How in the world could you look out at the vast beauty of the Himalayas or some of these exquisite areas in the world that are forested and rainforests and jungles and places that haven't been spoiled by human commercialism? They still exist. Where you're just quiet and alone with yourself and the many nature spirits throughout nature. Doesn't your mind just naturally get absorbed in the spirit of life, in the ineffable beauty, the pristine sounds of the bird calls? Or just watching the little animals scamper and play? I've always found nature the most perfect cathedral. And so as a child, I have loved to be alone in nature. I've always had the sense of the divine. And I think we all do, if it doesn't get corrupted. It doesn't get educated out of us. I think we're all natural mystics if we're left to our own devices. without a sense of the divine and the sacred. There's no happiness. There's no joy. How can you have joy without bliss? And how can you have bliss without awareness of the divine? How can you cultivate that love of God? Well, it's there underneath all of the worry and your fascination with trying to make a way in the world. It's there. And often it's only tapped when you're absolutely stripped of everything. Yeah. So that's the value of some of these changes that's bringing people to their knees. Maybe for the first time, they think of God or call out to God because there's no place else to turn. Now I want to speak about something that some of you are going through that isn't particularly pleasant. We're going back to deplaning again. You've gotten off your flight, gotten off your plane. Your passenger that you were talking to maybe formed a brief rapport with. You forget about that person because you say goodbye and they're headed in another direction. Maybe they're going to board another flight. What happens when you've reached your destination spiritually and you have to take another path, and the one that has been with you for some time is not able or ready or willing or is guided to take another direction? And that's happening to a lot of people now because we're in a time of major shifting of vibrational states of being. Let's put it that way. And you may be entering an elevator with a destination on the top floor, and here you've got a companion whose destination is on a lower floor, and you want to pull them into the elevator with you that's going up, somebody's going to get hurt, or vice versa. So it's wise to know that every single relationship is for a time and a season. Every relationship. There will come a time when that ends, and you're called to go in another direction. That's particularly true for very highly evolved souls. It's a sad truth, but you sometimes outgrow the people that you're with because they're not ready to progress. They've reached their water level for this incarnation. That's as far as they can go. And so it's seldom a mutually happy separation when a spouse of many years suddenly leaves you, especially where children are involved. So we'll walk with our friends, our lovers, our spouses, our children, our relatives, for a time along life's journey. Then they have to take to their next destination. But know that new ones will come to walk with you. It's wise to consider everyone as related to you in this vast universal family, for in truth we never meet a stranger. The same souls join and rejoin life after life, simply enacting different relationship roles each time. We come together to learn new lessons, to grow, and ultimately to learn unconditional love. We also rejoin with those that we've considered to be enemies in the past, those we've hated and feared. Old scores must be settled, forgiven, and exchanged for loving understanding. I just love this statement in the Course of Miracles where it says, "The holiest place on earth is where an ancient hatred has become a present love." So know that each individual is on their own personal soul journey, and no two soul journeys are identical in every way, although some may be very close. Those may last a whole lifetime, while other relationships may be only for a few days or months or years. But each soul has a preset curriculum of lessons to be learned and experiences to be had. And there's no better or lesser in terms of those experiences. All experiences are useful to the soul. So each soul must progress and move on to the next classroom with new classmates at each graduation. So only those who've attained some level of self-realization and higher spiritual awareness can pass through these inevitable joinings and partings relatively unscathed. But most tend to feel a sense of failure, like they've done something wrong and that's why their spouse is leaving them. But that's not really what's going on. Although it's seldom that people register on a conscious level that they're following their soul's urge. I often say a soul has got to do what a soul's got to do. So they'll try to defend themselves or justify what they're doing and all of that. Because really, they don't know. And they feel like they have to defend their right to do what they feel they have to do. I mean, we all fall in that, don't we? So right now, with the intense energies pushing us, all of us up to a higher level of vibration, and thus consciousness, relationships either grow together or they separate. That's just the fact of the matter. So we can't drag someone along with us. We are each on our own individual soul journey. So perhaps, I think, there is no more selfless act than to wholeheartedly want the happiness of your loved one above your own. To love them enough to set them free when their destiny calls them elsewhere. To bless and release them in loving takes a really mature soul. So where do you turn for support and comfort when life brings you to radical disruption and change? Well, for one thing, know that you've got a lot of company. But I would suggest that you try your best not to take it as a personal rejection or failure on your part, but see it as an opening to a new life. And secondly, to help your departing partner to go without need to attack or defend or justify. For he or she will not understand any more than you as to why. Only they must do what they're called to do. So really do your best to part as friends, so you are free of having to return and go through this lesson again. You are not free without until you are free within. And whether you realize it or not, the universe has opened the door for new experiences, new friends, new loved ones. And looking back, you'll usually be happy that it worked out just as it did. So only in setting others free do we set ourselves free. Only in forgiving do we set ourselves free of future karmic replays. Only in praying blessings over our enemies do we neutralize their ability to harm us. So in all things, having faith and trusting that all things are working themselves together for good for those who are living in that divine flow of purpose is the wisest attitude to assume. So in every situation, do place it in the light for the very highest outcome and good for yourself and all concerned. And never blame God for what negatively happens. For we alone make the choices that create the consequences that we must deal with. God is the observer. God does not create the chains that bind us. So I would suggest that if you're not a prayer, a person who turns to God in prayer, that you might want to consider becoming one. Sometimes people say, well, you know, if everything's predestined and we're on a, you know, a soul's path and God knows all about that, why do I need to pray? I asked Sai Baba that very question and he said it's man's duty to pray and it's God's duty to respond. And no matter how big and highfalutin you think you are, you did not create yourself. You do have a creator. And so the Course of Miracles describes prayer as the communication between the created to the creator. Again, it's a relationship. It needs to be a relationship. It needs to be our primary relationship. Because every single person in this world is going to leave you at some point, but God. God has said, I will never leave you, I will never forsake you. Lo, I am with you always, even unto the end. Even unto the very end. And since there's no end to God and God's creation, there's no end to the relationship and the love which sustains us. There's so much mental illness today. So many people going to psychiatrists, psychologists, going to counseling. You know, the best therapy I know for attaining and maintaining mental poise and serenity is a daily God talk. Did you ever just sit down and talk out loud to God? Well, I do every day. And you know what? God talks back. How does God talk back? With a wisdom that is beyond what I have, what I could imagine, comes as an inner knowing, as a flow of clarity. And sometimes I hear Sai Baba's voice very clearly with that faint Indian accent. I hear Jesus too. It's a little bit different accent, vibration. But they're both love. I talk to some of the other masters too. You know what? Whoever you address your talk to, take a little time and listen. Because they do communicate. Everything communicates. I haven't found anything that does not communicate if you speak to it with your heart. And if you listen with the intention to listen and hear. So God is our only eternal friend, lover, spouse, and forever relationship. So above and beyond all relationships, cultivate an intimate relationship with God, with the beloved, who dwells within your heart and in the hearts of all beings. And know that God's answer is always a sense of peace. And God's presence is always wherever love is being expressed. So God is love. Live in love. And realize that you are God's love made manifest in human form. So I hope this has been helpful to you tonight. I know some of you have very heavy hearts because your spouse has just left you and you don't know where to go or what to do or what to make of it because so many lives were spent wrapped around that relationship. So I promise you this, having been in that position myself, that God always takes care of you. You don't have to know how, but there are people that God has already assigned to meet your needs, to be your angels, to be your support system. You may not have met them yet, but God has always foreseen and made provision for you. I want you to know that and trust it. And never be afraid and never believe that you're without love and support. Because I can promise you from years of experience that God always has your back. And wherever you are, God is. And all is well. And often your assistance comes at the very last moment to test your faith and also to exercise your resourcefulness so that you grow spiritually, so that you master situations in your life. Because everything is a lesson that God would have you learn. But the main strength comes from prayer and faith and devotion. That will give you so much inner strength that is what gets you through the hard times. So do become a person of prayer and a person of faith and trust in the Beloved. So let's raise our hands in blessing. May all the beings in all the worlds be at peace. May all be touched with divine love. May all be blessed in some way that they will know that God is and all is well. And to each of you that are suffering tonight from some form of abrupt change, I ask for the light of the Holy Spirit to fill you and comfort you. And bring to you bright dreams and visions that God has prepared for you that will give you the comfort and the vision and the hope that good times indeed are ahead of you and new loves and new possibilities. So God bless each one of you, and let's go out chanting Anahi Hu. Deep breath. Anahi Hu. Blessings and grace. Adonai.